The Secrets of the Maine State Library. Just across the parking lot from the Maine State House and sharing the same building as the Maine State Museum and Maine State Archives sits a real treasure, the Maine State Library. Many people don't even know it's there, and even fewer know all that it has to offer. Yes, there are books by Maine authors, a lot of them, but there's more, a lot more. There's a huge genealogy collection, a place to transfer tapes and videos, a recording studio for the visually impaired. The list goes on. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Join me as we meet the lady at the helm, Maine State Librarian Linda Lord, who is retiring at the end of the year. In her honor, we're going to let out some of the secrets of the Maine State Library. And as she likes to point out, it's for all the people of Maine. Maine Calling is next, but first, this news update. From the MPBN studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Libraries today are about much more than books and magazines, and the Maine State Library is no exception, with many resources available to everyone who lives in Maine. Today, we're lucky to have the Maine State Librarian with us to share some of the things you may not know about libraries in general and about the Maine State Library in particular. Joining me in the studio is Linda Lord, the Maine State Librarian. Also with us today, Beth Edmonds is director of the Freeport Community Library and chair of the Maine State Library Commission. Jean Gulliver is on the board of the Friends of the Maine State Library. She's with us as well. And of course, we want to hear from you. What questions do you have about the Maine State Library? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. That's 1-800-399-3566. Our email address, talk@mpbn.net, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. Welcome to all of you. And Linda, why don't you start by just telling us about the Maine State Library? I learned this morning that it's 175 years old. What is the mission of the Maine State Library, and how is that mission different than the library in someone's town?
That's an excellent question, Jennifer. The Maine State Library has a public section that anybody can come in and use for research, use computers, et cetera, et cetera. The difference between us and the Lithgow Public Library in Augusta is that we don't collect fiction unless it's by a Maine author. We also don't collect children's books unless they're by a Maine author. We have an extensive genealogy collection, so we're more of a research library in that respect and a nonfiction library. We also are the library in the state designated to accept federal funds to benefit all libraries in Maine, and we get about $1.2 million from the federal government to do that each year.
So you do things like the interlibrary loan program that anybody who's used a library in Maine in the last couple of years, I'm sure knows about. That has come through the Maine State Library. That was an initiative through the Maine State Library.
It was, along with our area reference and resource centers, Portland Public Library and Bangor Public Library. And people might be interested to know that we do exchange over 1 million items a year among our libraries.
Wow.
That's a lot of exchange.
That's a lot of exchange. 1 million items a year, mainly books, but also videotapes and audiobooks and things like
Correct.
That as well. Jean, you had the Friends of the Maine State Library. What's the biggest challenge facing the Maine State Library today?
Is helping people in Maine to know about the Maine State Library, which is why the Friends were formed. Few people know about this resource, which is the resource for all Maine citizens. And the Friends tries to spread that word. We support libraries around the state. And we raise funds that also support librarians, either at the Maine State Library or locally, with training and with access to materials and digital information that they need.
When you say many people don't know about it, is this something that sort of people doing academic research have been using for years, but regular folks, the rest of us, don't have any idea of how it applies to us?
And you mentioned the interlibrary loan. Many people in Maine don't even know that that's available to them, that they can access through their local library resources that may be at the other end of the state. Wherever we are and we're talking with people about libraries, it is always important to let people know what's available because so few people know about it.
Beth, can you talk about some of the things other than the interlibrary loan that the Maine State Library does for local libraries? What does it do for Freeport?
Absolutely. Well, one of the things is that the Maine State Library hires consultants who assist us in all manner of programming and training. So my little library doesn't necessarily able to create training options, but the consultants have webinars, they have conferences, et cetera, and they're also available to us personally. So that's a huge resource for every little library in Maine. The other thing that people may not realize is that, you know, when you go in your library and you get on the internet, well, that's because we're connected through the Maine State Library,
Maine School and Library Network.
Thank you very much. I never get the acronyms right.
So all the folks who use their library, because maybe they don't have high-speed internet at their home, maybe they can't afford a home computer, but they use their library for that resource, that's all because of the Maine State Library.
Exactly, and others, but that's a huge piece. The other thing that happens through the Maine State Library, you've all been referring to, is the interlibrary loan. Well, the van comes by, brings the books that you have put on at your home late last night. You wanted X book or Y book, and it comes to my library, and you come pick it up, and it gets returned, and the van takes it back home wherever it belongs. Hugely important. It means that every small library basically has this giant resource now.
Beth, I read something you wrote. Libraries everywhere are reevaluating their roles in their communities and adjusting their services to better accommodate the needs of their patrons. How so? How are libraries changing?
Well, for one thing, we're not so quiet anymore. certainly in the children's rooms. But I think this whole issue of connectivity to the internet and all those places where people want access that they may not know they can get. I think that's part of it. Also, you know, my library serves coffee. we're trying to make us a space. We also have the copy machine in town. You'd think Freeport had a copy machine store, but it doesn't. We have the only public copier in the town. We're the only public fax machine in town. So there's all these little services that are sort of tangential, but are important to people, especially in small towns where you want to have information access of all sorts.
All right. Well, Linda, we have built this program as Secrets of the Maine State Library. It's time. What is your favorite secret of the Maine State Library?
When I had an office in the library in the early 1990s, the first thing that the staff wanted to tell me about was the man who lived above the drop ceiling. And the basics of what I'm going to report are accurate. Some of the conjecture, I think you'll know the difference. The rumor has it that a young man who was in medical school for some reason was totally cut off by his family. So he came across country to kind of reorient himself, ended up at the Maine State Library, discovered the drop ceilings, and up he went. And according to him, he was up there living for about 3 weeks. According to the staff, he was up there for about 3 months. But this fellow had deactivated the motion sensors in the library. He had helped himself to a television, a video player. He helped himself to food from the staff refrigerators, thereby causing great angst among who was taking my lunch and staff pointing at each other. I smell tuna fish on your breath. You took my lunch kind of thing. And let's see, what else had he acquired up there? He had light, and at night he would come down and use the library and take reading material. He had a bookshelf up there made himself right at home until finally the bookkeeper, who liked to work into the evening when it was quiet, kept reporting to people she was hearing music and voices. Well, you can imagine how far that got her. Poor bookkeeper, something's wrong with her. And finally, she called the head of security and said, you've got to come over here right now. This is not my imagination. This is not coming through air ducts from the museum or the archives. It's here in the library. They came over. They heard themselves. They called the state librarian and said, you be here at 6 in the morning because we're going up there. So the television cameras were there. They went up. They found the gentleman, brought him down. And that was that. I don't think that he was ever particularly punished for it. He was just kind of trespassing, just
and
a little.
Why did he choose the Maine State Library? Because he liked to read?
Well, he was a very smart man. He went back and completed his medical school education.
Oh, my goodness.
And, I mean, you stop and think about it. If you do like to read, you've got access to all these books. You've got access to videotapes. And you've got access to food.
So, Linda, we're trying to encourage people to use the Maine State Library. Are you afraid this may creep them out a little bit?
Not a bit. I've been in that building for 22 years. I've been there at off hours. I've never heard voices, and I've never heard music. And if I had, I wouldn't be saying it publicly.
Okay, Jean, it's your turn. What's the biggest secret? What is the thing that you would like people to know is there at the Maine State Library that most people don't know?
I think it's that it's such a repository of Maine history that there are special collections there that are jewels for our state. And that's where they are, and they're accessible to anybody in the state who's simply curious. Perhaps they want to do genealogy and study their family, their Maine roots. It's the largest genealogical library north of Boston. That's just a gem that we have here. And you have seen some of that collection. Some of it's visually beautiful. But if it's your family, you might want to go and do that research.
And Jean, you mentioned I've seen it. I was lucky enough a couple weeks ago to have a tour of the Maine State Library with Linda, and we videotaped that tour and put together a little 5-minute piece, which if you'd like to watch it, it's on the MPBN Maine Calling Facebook page right now. We've already posted it, and that shows a few of the things that the Maine State Library offers to the people of Maine. So again, that's on the MPBN Maine Calling Facebook page. So wait until after the conversation and check it out. Your turn, Beth. What's your favorite secret of the Maine State Library?
I'm going to take two.
Oh, that's fine.
One of them is they're both quite new. They've developed downstairs in the bulk of the library a maker space. So if you have those old videotapes that you can't bear to be parted from and want to transfer them into digital, you have a place to go do that. Someone will show you how to do it. There's just all this incredible, interesting stuff about repurposing what you've been using. The second one I'm very, very, very excited about, and it's quite new, and it's just in its infancy. But the Maine State Library is becoming connected to the Digital Library of America. And, for instance, I've sent have a volunteer who's taken old historical documents from Freeport up, and they've been scanned, and now they're available. They're going to be available on our website and on the Maine State Library's website for anybody to look through. So this is stuff that, you know, has been too fragile for us to let people just page through, will now be visible, especially for those people who are doing historical research or genealogy. It's just an incredible resource, and it's also going to be searchable by Google, so somebody in East Gish is going to be able to get online and look for it.
Sure. Adam Fisher, one of the employees of the Maine State Library, was telling me, Beth, that he had somebody who had done a search on Google for his grandfather's name, and it turned out that the grandfather had been a warden, and he found out that he'd been a Maine State game warden because his name had popped up in one of the historical documents that had been scanned by one of the local libraries, and that it was really a fluke because, I wouldn't say a fluke, but he wasn't searching for a historical document. He just searched his grandfather's name, found out he was a game state warden, and it came up in a document probably about a hearing that wasn't that interesting, but learned something about the grandfather, great-grandfather. So really, really interesting. If you'd like to join the conversation, the phone number 1-800-399-3566. That's 1-800-399-3566. You can send an email to talk@mpbn.net, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. Linda, one of the things that you showed me at the library that I thought was pretty neat was the bank of what we used to call microfiche machines. Mm-hmm. And don't we all remember doing research in high school or college or for some other reason and having to sort of get the picture on the big screen and then clicking and making a picture, and they cost like $1.50 or $2 each. What does one do now if one's doing microfiche research? And I'm sure that's even the wrong word now.
Well, we have a bank of digital microfilm readers, and number one, what you view on those is much more clear than what you view on the older non-digital microfilm readers, and number two, you can download what you're interested in onto a thumb drive and take it home with you, or you can email it to yourself. The time that that saves researchers and the time it saves the state library staff, because anybody in Maine can call our reference desk and ask for some research help, or can make an appointment and come in and ask for research help. This is a huge time saver for everyone.
So does that mean if somebody's, you know, pretty far drive from Augusta but is researching a specific topic, can call the researcher and say, will you look this up for me and email me this information?
They can do it. Now, obviously, there are people that do genealogy search for pay. And if somebody needs an extensive search done, it's not possible for the staff to dedicate themselves to that particular search for a long time. But if it's a question of, I'm interested in this particular Civil War battle, what would you have on it? Or I know that this person fought in the Civil War, but I don't know anything else about them. Could you let me know something about them? That type of question we can certainly handle.
Or if somebody says, maybe somebody's thinking of building a house and says, I'm interested in a shoreland study that was done in this town. Somebody told me it was in the 80s. Maybe somebody at the Maine State Library can find out if that exists and have it emailed to them.
They could do that. And what we're trying to do is get more and more of that material digitized so that people can look it up themselves, like community comprehensive plans. We would love to have those digitized because they're very interesting to people, whether people are thinking about buying a home in a particular town or somebody's new in a town or just people that weren't involved in the process would like to know what's the current comprehensive plan, how old is it? That's one of our goals.
Okay. Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, your comments and questions, please stay with us. This is Maine Calling.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do Portland Kiwanis Club, dedicated to changing the world through service, now seeking members. Learn more at portlandkiwanis.com. And Hospice of Southern Maine. Calling hospice doesn't mean you're giving up. It means you're taking charge. Learn more at hospiceofsouthernmaine.org.
Listeners tune to NPR for holiday stories of all kinds. Funny, touching, insightful, and surprising.
My mother, my sister Louise, and I were in our neighbor's woods stealing Christmas greenery. I hope we don't get shot, I said.
I'm Lynn Neary. Join me for Tinsel Tales 3, a holiday tradition that celebrates the spirit of storytelling at Christmas.
And you can hear that tonight at 7 or Thursday afternoon at 1 o'clock. You'll also find listings for MPBN radio and television holiday specials in your December Experience Program Guide. The days are counting down. 2014 is just about history, and MPBN reminds you that it's not too late to make a end-of-year gift to MPBN, which may be tax-deductible for you. You can become a new member, make an additional gift, become an Evergreen Sustaining member, join the MPBN Beacon Society, donate stock, or even donate that old car. Thanks, as always, for your support. It makes public radio possible in Maine. Questions? Call MPBN at 800-884-1717 and speak to Scott Marshildon. Thanks. Have a happy and safe holiday season.
And welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, the Maine State Library. With me in the studio, Beth Edmonds, who is director of the Freeport Community Library and chair of the Maine State Library Commission. Jean Gulliver is a board member of the Friends of the Maine State Library, and Linda Lord is the Maine State Librarian. We invite you to join our conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. That's 1-800-399-3566. Email talk@mpbn.net, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. Linda, you're on the countdown till your final days. Retiring. Why are you retiring? Why?
I've made it clear to everybody that I'm a reluctant retiree. Partly it's my age. I turned 70 in September.
Oh, and you didn't have to share that.
Well, I don't mind at all because people are very polite and everybody says, oh, you don't look it.
Don't.
So the more I say it, it's fine. I get that feedback. And my husband is a bit older than I am and his health is good, but it's not wonderful. So I need to refocus. My commute is 42 and a half miles a day one way. And that's another reason that I really, I feel it's time I need to refocus. And I am leaving the State Library in the best hands possible. We have a tremendous staff, and my successor, Jamie Ritter, has been the Director of Reader and Information Services at the library. He'll be taking over on January 1st, and I am so totally comfortable with that transition, and the things that are happening and the things that are in the pipeline that will happen, that this is a great time for me to be leaving.
Okay, and on a related note, we have a Facebook post from Jay. He writes, "This is my opportunity to say that the staff at the library were wonderful and welcoming when we signed up for a library card. These are good people who deserve recognition." So, hear, hear.
Perfect.
Jay, thank you for writing in. Jean, I understand that you want to let people know that you can't, it's not just a matter of using the library, but you can volunteer there.
Absolutely. We've been mentioning all of the material that has been digitized, that still needs to be digitized, so that people around Maine can access all the resources. Physically doing that work is a wonderful way to volunteer and contribute to Maine, as well as the fun of seeing the documents, understanding them, being part of the process. But we welcome and need volunteers to come in and help work with the professionals. We'll train you. This, you know, is a very doable thing. But it would be such a gift for more people to give their time to make material available to their neighbors, their families, their friends.
And people can digitize. Don't people also volunteer to read audiobooks at the library? Linda's nodding.
Linda's nodding, yes. Yeah.
It's the audiobooks, they're not all the professional audiobooks, but somebody, if you've got a great voice and you like to read, you can sit in that little studio in the basement of the Maine State Library and read, right?
Absolutely. We get what we call talking books from the Library of Congress, but not all books are provided by the Library of Congress, specifically if they're Maine-related books, and that's what our staff supervises is a recording of Maine-related books. And Jennifer, may I stick in one thing that's a little bit off topic, but I really want people to know it. If you live in Maine, but you can't get to Augusta, you can get a Maine State Library card that will do two things for you. You can download audiobooks and digital books, e-books, and you can also access the online information that we provide for libraries across the state. And by that, I'm talking about reference books, I'm talking about magazine articles, and I'm talking about newspapers. So that is available to every person in Maine. You don't have to come to Augusta to get a card that will let you do those two things. Thank you.
And Beth, you wanted to talk about the income tax checkoff. People probably are starting to think about their taxes this time of year.
Absolutely. This is a new program that we were very grateful that the legislature allowed us to put on the Maine State income tax forms is a checkoff for your libraries. And you're thinking, well, what's that money going to go for? Well, for those of you who love to download audiobooks and ebooks, you know that sometimes there's a long wait for that ebook that you really want because, of course, they cost. And so this money that we're using from the income tax checkoff is being used to give us more ebooks available to people. So I think that's a great thing, and it's going to go to everybody who has a library card in Maine through their public library. So it's wonderful. I did want to say one thing about the digitizing. One of my volunteers said the only problem with doing it is that you get so interested in reading the stuff that you have a hard time turning the page. But it's fun. Yeah. You know, you get to do a little history on your own. So.
Oh, that's great. Linda, you told me that the most popular resource at the Maine State Library is the genealogy. Tell me how many people use it. What exactly for? Are people just coming to research their own families pretty much?
Basically, people are coming to use their own families, and I don't have the data on exactly how many people come, but I know that we practically made one gentleman a member of the staff because he started on one side of his family, then decided he couldn't stop writing a book on that side. He had to do a book on the other side. I have a brother who lives in Pennsylvania. Every time he comes home to visit, he spends at least one full day in the library. I can't drag him out for lunch because he is doing family genealogy. So people come from all over the place. Sometimes people come in RVs, and they used to, I don't know if they could get away with it now, camp in the parking lot for a few days to use the genealogy resources.
Isn't that interesting? Okay, here's a Maine Calling Facebook post. Amy writes, as a lover of libraries, the daughter of a librarian, and now the mom of a librarian, I'm loving today's program and learning so much. I especially liked hearing about the young man who lived in the library ceiling. It reminds me of my favorite children's book, and I bet you guys know the answer, Konigsberg's from the mixed-up files of Mrs. Basil E. Frankweller, in which two children ran away from home and lived in the Metropolitan Music of Art. Thanks for another Maine Calling topic. Amy, thanks for writing in. You're not advocating people move in, though.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny because You know, as a public librarian at night, you know, you basically walk through the whole library instead of shooing people out, and you hope you get everybody. My favorite story of late is that I was a children's librarian before I was the director, and one night a dad came in with his little tiny one, and our children's story room was sort of set aside, and they went in there, and I thought, oh, great, he's reading her stories. And then about 10 minutes later, she comes wandering out, and I'm thinking, go in there. Dad is fast asleep. His intentions were good.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, I'm sure that happens a lot. I'm sure you're waking people up a lot.
So it's like, okay, time to go home and go to bed.
Yeah. If you'd like to join the conversation, call 1-800-399-3566. That's 1-800-399-3566. Your chance to ask the Maine State Library librarian specific questions about what's available to you. You could also send an email to talk@mpbn.net, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. We have had one of the members of your technology petting zoo on Maine Calling again before. I understand that's expanding. That program is expanding this coming year, Linda. Tell us about the technology petting zoo.
The petting zoo is a collection of electronic devices that many people in the public have or want to have. So the petting zoo goes around to different libraries, complete with Jared Ledbetter, to explain each of the tools to people and help people make a decision. Do I want an iPad? Do I want a mini iPad? Do I want a Kindle? Do I want a Nook? Which version do I want? And it gives them a hands-on chance to explore this. Everywhere Jared goes, the program is so very well received, and we intend to send along in the near future a MakerBot, one of the 3D printers that interested you and your cameraman, Jennifer.
So the MakerBot will travel to local libraries so people can use a 3D printer.
And can actually see it in operation. It does take a bit, as you know, to actually create an object. But people will be able to see it and just get a feel for whether or not it's something they'd like to support their library having.
Okay. At the phone number, 1-800-399-3566, we have a call from Frank and Solon. Hi, Frank. Go ahead.
Hi. I was thinking that if the Books by Mail program is still in effect, it should be mentioned.
Great.
Linda, what's the Books by Mail program?
Frank, thank you so much for bringing that up. The Books by Mail program applies to people who live in towns that do not have their own public library and don't abut towns that have an excellent public library. The list of towns whose residents can take part in the Books by Mail program is posted on the Maine State Library website, which has loads and loads of information about Maine State Library services, more than we could ever, ever talk about in a brief show. But people that get books by mail receive the books and have to pay return postage. That had to change a few years ago with some very severe budget cuts across the state. And we feel badly about it and would love to be able to pay postage both ways, but right now we can't. But the Books by Mail program does interlibrary loan for people. We fill it from our own resources. It took the place of bookmobiles, in essence, to make sure that people, no matter where they lived in Maine, had library service. Thank you for bringing it up.
So the library will send it to them for free, and then they send it back. Can they send it back book rate? So the lowest, and that usually is much lower than sending something first class.
Yes, so. I just call media rate these
media
days.
Media rate, that's right. Okay. Frank, thanks for calling in. Headed next to Ted in Brunswick. Hi, Ted. You're on Maine Calling.
Hi, how are you?
Thank Great.
You for taking my call. This is very interesting to me because I have a long family history in Maine and am interested in doing research in genealogy and just history in general. And was interested in a couple things, how somebody that lived out of state and didn't have a Maine State Library membership card could begin and do research. And then the second part of my question, or the second question I had, was just wondering what the differences in the collections were between the Maine Historical Society and the Maine State Library in terms of genealogy and history, or, you know, what their highlights, or if they collaborated.
Oh, but we do collaborate.
That we, number one, we certainly do collaborate with the Maine Historical Society. And you raise an interesting point because we have recently done a study among the largest libraries in Maine comparing our collections and deciding who will guarantee that they'll keep certain volumes for the 15 years in the future. What we have not done is a specific study between our collection and the collection at Maine Historical Society. So I can't answer your question specifically, but I would love to see that study done. It would be very, very interesting. And as far as from somebody out of state, that's a really tricky question to answer. Because, again, we can't put a staff person on doing full-time genealogy research for somebody. We just don't have the staff to do it. We could certainly tell what books were available that might be helpful. In fact, you can find those on our online catalog. But what many people do is just take a vacation to Maine, which people love to do, and spend some time at the library. So I'm sorry I can't be more specifically helpful to you on that, but we can certainly get you started.
Linda, you mentioned that your brother comes from Pennsylvania. Does he have a Maine State Library card, or does he just hang out?
He just hangs out.
Yeah, there you go.
I was also thinking that at small public libraries, we'd certainly have people call us who say, I think my grandfather grew up in Freeport. You know, can you give me any information? And like Linda, I can't put a staff person on a big, deep research project, but I can certainly say, yes, I know that this name appears in this volume and it's available to you. And again, to speak to this Digital Library of America, we're hoping in the next year or so to be able to digitize a lot of the genealogical things that we have in my little library to be on there so that somebody from away can certainly look online and find those things. That's a piece in progress.
And Beth, you said within the next year. We're not talking about someday.
No. I've got a young woman who I haven't chained to a desk, but I'm thinking of it. Who actually my friends, so the Friends of Freeport Community Library, have funded her travel to Augusta. That's how they're doing it, so that she can go up there. And she's interested in history, so she's been doing it. So
wow.
I'll just add to that, while we're talking genealogy, that we have a person on our staff who is a genealogy specialist. She does a monthly newsletter. She teaches classes on a regular basis. And she got to go to her first national genealogy conference thanks to the Friends of the Maine State Library who paid her way.
Great. Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick break. Thank you, Ted, for your question. When we come back, more of your comments and questions. This is Maine Calling.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do Casella, committed to boosting recycling rates statewide through its One Bin, Zero Sort program. Casella, giving resources new life. And Baxter Brewing Company in Lewiston, committed to canning their entire line to protect the beer and the environment. BaxterBrewing.com.
That pumpkin spice latte you're sipping right now, it had a whole lot of innovation behind it. And we aren't talking about the recipe.
It's not brand new, but it was put together in a new way, integrated. Old and new and Italy and America. And by the way, he got it mostly wrong at the beginning.
I'm Kara Miller. That's this week on Innovation Hub.
You can tune in for that Wednesday afternoon at 1 o'clock.
Guest conductor Paul Agnew leads the Music of the Baroque Chorus and Orchestra in its annual holiday brass and choral concert here on this station.
You can tune in for that Tuesday evening from 8 till 10 p.m. You'll also find listings for MPBN radio and television holiday specials in your December Experience Program Guide.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, the Maine State Library. With me in the studio, Jean Gulliver, who is a board member of the Friends of the Maine State Library. Beth Edmonds is director of the Freeport Community Library and chair of the Maine State Library Commission. And Linda Lord is the Maine State Librarian, soon to retire after a long career in public service. We invite you to join the conversation. Give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. That's 1-800-399-3566. An email from Liz at the Maine Humanities Council, who writes, just a note to say how much we have loved working with Linda and the Maine State Library over the years. She and the Maine State Library are fantastic. So there you go, Linda.
I know,
She's blushing. We're going to Susan in Cherryfield. Hi, Susan.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Okay. I love your show, by the way.
Thank you.
And I guess my question was, you were talking about downloading Audible and eBooks.
Yes.
And could you just quickly say what kind of, like you mentioned, Kindles and whatever, Nooks and iPads, and do they all work with the library, or how do you do that?
I think I can help, and Linda can correct me if I get it wrong. When you go to your library's website or to the state library website, it directs you to a page that lets you look at which device you have and then tells you from that device how you might proceed. And some books that are bought are available because of publishers' information, not because of our information, only in one form or another. And that's indicated on the website as well. And so you can just go through the process. And if you have trouble, just call your local library and have them walk you through how to access it. But basically, the information's all there. Is that right, Linda?
That is exactly right. And you have a gangbuster great little library in Cherryfield. And if you go see Kara or Kathy, I'm sure they would help you do that.
Yes, I just thought maybe on the show you could talk about it. That's where to go, you know, to find out.
Gotcha.
Other than go to your library, because some people are not able. So,
excellent point.
Much.
Excellent point. I hope Beth helped you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Susan. Headed to Bar Harbor and Carol. Hi, Carol. Go ahead. You're on Main Calling.
Thank you. I'm just thinking about historical information from very small towns and islands, and I'm wondering if there's some process for small libraries that are holders of that information, and perhaps you're already doing this, to get that information to you. And the reason I ask is because we had a library that burned down totally off the coast of...
Yes.
And they had many historical documents, I understand, that were totally lost. Oh, and I could be wrong. Maybe they weren't lost, but I know there were... People were concerned that there was so much in that library, and so sad to see it burned down.
And yes, I think that's what you all are racing to do, right, is to digitize some of this information from all libraries, large and small.
That is exactly right.
Do they have to send it to you, or do you contact them, or how does that work?
They would have to get it to us, and the best way to do it would be to have a volunteer come with the material, like Beth sends her person to actually do the digitization. And the Maine Memory Network, which is run by Maine Historical Society, also is interested in digitizing photographs. So between the two of us, we can get almost anything digitized. But as Jean said earlier, we need volunteers to help with that work. There's so much out there that hasn't been digitized.
So I've seen the machine where it happens. And if you watch the video on our Facebook page, you'll see a little bit of that, too. It's very simple. And so what you're saying is that a volunteer can come to the Maine State Library and stand there and do the scanning and do the digitizing for not only your own town, but then it goes into the sort of the public repository.
Exactly. That's exactly right, Jennifer.
Okay. Carol, thanks for your call. Good question.
Thanks.
Going to Judy in Belgrade. Hi, Judy. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. In addition to the collections that the wonderful collections that our great libraries have, many of our towns have these incredible historic buildings that are the Andrew Carnegie era buildings. And I was wondering whether your panel could talk a little about some of the challenges they face in doing renovations and maintenance and restoration and where that money comes from, because it is a significant expense, particularly in small towns.
I can talk a little bit about the challenges. I think I'll make Linda talk about the money. The challenges, I know in Freeport we had a small public library that was a Carnegie library, but it was totally inaccessible for the handicapped. You had to walk upstairs or downstairs to get anywhere. And those are just big challenges that probably Judy's referring to in small towns. Because, you know, if you're going to do anything, you have to retrofit that stuff. And it is a big challenge. I know that there have been grants throughout the state to try to do help on changing over these sorts of things. Linda, do you have any sense of where more money can be found?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I do. We had several bond issues to support library construction called New Century Grants. And all the cultural agency heads are very interested in getting legislative support to have another round of New Century Grant funding just for capital improvements. So talk to your local legislators and suggest that this would be a really good thing to consider as the state moves forward with more bond issues. The federal government used to support library construction. They no longer do that. They haven't done it for over 10 years because the technology needs in libraries were so serious and so expensive. So there's no hope from that level. It has to be either local or state. And I know the libraries that are doing big changes, Cape Elizabeth, Falmouth, where Jean is from, Augusta, those are local bonds that are supporting them.
Local fundraising efforts, that's right. Augusta's was on the ballot and won the Lithgow Library there. We have an email from A. I would like to know how the digital selection for online books, mostly nonfiction, can be improved. I have children who live in New Hampshire, and the selection in their state is much better. Is this what you were talking about, Beth, the checkoff on the taxes?
Yeah, I think the question about selection, we'd love to have recommendations. I would think
absolutely.
We should just send them to your local library. We'll get them to the state library. But the issue is, the larger issue is how to pay for them. E-books, as you may know, are not inexpensive. And if you're buying them for a situation where you're going to be lending them, the publisher wants even more money. We'd love suggestions.
That's a perfect answer, Beth. And a reminder again about that famous income tax checkoff. Last year, we were able to buy $14,000 worth of new ebooks and audiobooks. This year, we were able to buy 1,000 new audiobooks and ebooks. We're in the process of buying them because we had $30,000 that we could dedicate to them. So that checkoff is critical because without it, our collection would be even more meager than it is.
All right. Going to Kitty in South Portland. Hi, Kitty. Go ahead. You're on Maine Calling.
Hi. I have a question. It's sort of obscure. There is a page from the Sunday News from 1939 that I would love a duplicate of. Could the State Library help me with that?
I believe that the State Library could help you with that. And why don't you send me an email? While I still have it.
Quickly.
Linda.Lord, L-O-R-D, Linda.Lord at Maine.gov. And I will pass
Linda
it right on
Lord.
At Maine, M-A-I-N-E,
yeah.
.gov. And I will forward it to our reference department, and you will hear from somebody there.
Oh, super.
So, Kitty, I'm curious. Will you share with us what's on that page from that newspaper?
Well, 1939 was the time that Eleanor and Gilbert Krauss brought 50 Jewish children to the United States, and that there was a coverage of that. There is a documentary about that family and what they did. They just took it upon themselves to rescue children, and it was the largest effort that way that was done in this country.
Well, isn't that interesting? Well, hopefully you'll get your newspaper, the copy of the newspaper page, and be able to share that with even more people. Kitty, thanks so much. If you'd like to join the conversation, 1-800-399-3566, headed to Waterville and Floyd. Hi, Floyd. Go ahead.
Hi, Jan. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question and a comment. I'm a bit concerned about the concept of digitizing and scanning things to digital. For the blind, things that are scanned are images, and probably your people there all know about this, but it's very important for scanned images to be OCR'd or made text readable.
Yes.
So I was wondering if they could comment on that. And especially, I heard you mention that people can just come in to the library and scan documents for them. That scares me.
Now, now I understand your question about visually impaired, but why does it scare you that people can come in and scan historical documents?
Because there are lots of problems with scanned PDFs that are not OCR'd. They're not made text readable or searchable. Searchable is another term because anything that is just an image is not searchable.
Okay, I have a feeling Linda's going to have an answer you like.
Well, I'm not sure that I do. OCR stands for Optical Character Recognition. And the American Library Association is very aware of that issue. Librarians across the board are very aware of that issue. And I see comments about how this can be dealt with online all the time. So, Floyd, you make an excellent point, and we're very sensitive about that point at the Maine State Library, and libraries across the country are. And I think that you're going to see solutions to that in the very near future.
I will add, though, I think Jean made reference to this. You know, people are trained when they come in on how to use the scanning process to the best of their ability, to the best of the ability of the machine. And I think we all are concerned about making sure that everything is OCR. And Floyd's absolutely right. This is a critical piece because it is just a photograph. And if it's not OCR'd, then you can't search it and you can't use it as effectively as you might want.
Floyd, thanks for calling. An email from Abby, she asks, how does one get a Maine State Library card?
If you want to borrow print material or some of our books on CD or anything else out of the Maine State Library, you have to come in person to Augusta and get a library card that way. However, if you just want to be able to download electronic books, audio books, and access our online information, such as reference books, magazine articles, and newspapers, you can do that online and get a library card from the Maine State Library online that allows you to do that. I hope that helps.
Okay. Thank you, Abby. And going to, is it Margie or Margie in Jonesboro?
It's Margie.
Hi, Margie. Go ahead.
Hi. Well, you know what? I've been looking for a book, Biological Transmutations by Kervan. And I heard about the book. It tells you how every plant transmutates into a certain vitamin. And like for instance, horsetail grass is the highest form of calcium. And it's just like a book that I just wanted to get.
Oh, Maggie, have I got a deal for you.
What?
Heidi Hinckley is your librarian in Jonesport.
Jonesboro.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Jonesboro. Do you have a public library?
I think so, yeah. I think it's still open. I just hope that they stay open forever and ever.
Well, you go to that library, tell them that you want that book, and they can do an interlibrary loan request for you and have that book delivered right to your library.
They'll deliver it? Because if you want me to, I'll have to hop on a horse and come down to you.
I'd almost like to see that, but maybe not this time of year. Yes, please go to your library. And if that doesn't work, I know you're very close to Jonesport, and I know you're close to Cherryfield. If you can't access your local library or its hours are too limited or whatever,
right.
Go to one of those libraries. Tell them I sent you.
Okay, and your name again?
Linda? Lord, L-O-R-D.
Oh, God, how can you forget that?
It's even better if you say Linda Lord Librarian.
A little alliteration there, Linda Lord Librarian. Margie, thanks so much for calling in. And Linda, you know, we just have a couple minutes left. This is your last super public platform here on Maine Calling. Mm-hmm. What do you want everybody to know about the Maine State Library?
I want everybody to know that the Maine State Library is their library, as you said so well earlier. I want people to know that all libraries across the state are making the same changes we are. People can drink coffee in libraries. People can drink soda in libraries. People can sit in comfortable chairs. They don't have to be scholars. They don't have to be on any particular mission. The library is the only place in a community where anybody can come from birth until death, regardless of economic background, education, or interests. The library belongs to everybody, and that very much includes the Maine State Library. We are becoming community centers. Libraries all across the state are teaching computer classes. We have a drop-in on Tuesday afternoons. Anybody can come in with a device and get a lesson on it, which is a fabulous service that I know Beth is nodding. Her library does this. I just want people to know that libraries are really friendly places. And people that go into library work don't go into library work today because they love books, although most of us do. They go into library work because they love people and they want to help people locate the resources that they need. Even if it's just for fun and entertainment, that is important. Enriching life is just as important as any other service that we can provide. And a quote that we have in the State Library that's one of my favorites is that a library is a window into the world. No, I'm sorry, a window into the soul and a door into the world. And I believe that. Thank you, Jennifer.
That's a great way to end the program, Linda. Thank you so much for being here. Maine State Librarian Linda Lord. Beth Edmonds is also here. She's director of the Freeport Community Library and chair of the Maine State Library Commission. Jean Gulliver is a member of the Friends of the Maine State Library. We want to congratulate Linda on her retirement. She has been a great friend to this show, and I'm not sure what our producer Jonathan Smith will do without her help in finding the right guests for our book club and other literary themed shows. Linda, you are a real pro. Maine Calling will miss you. John Keimel ran the board today. You can find past editions of Maine Calling as well as a link to our podcast by visiting mpbn.net/Maine Calling. Also, don't forget to go online to the MPBN Maine Calling Facebook page and watch our short video about secrets of the Maine State Library. Got posted this morning. Tomorrow on the program, join me for a conversation about Maine's ski industry. And on Wednesday, it is the Maine Calling Book Club. We'll discuss Wild by Sherrod Strayed. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you've been listening to the Maine Calling on the Maine Public Broadcasting Network.